You're not leaving, are you? I don't know, wait, I'll finish the singing. I can go now. Let me bid you a welcome and express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. It's good to get together. As there is an outline for the lesson this morning in the foyer, I hope you received one when you came in. I asked my brethren to kind of look around. If you see someone that didn't receive one, you're very welcome to go get a couple of them and hand them out or at least share. But as Rick ably read our text this morning, and a good introduction, Rick, I appreciate that summary of the text. Before you read it, I almost should have said, yes, let's sing the invitation song right now. But we're going to give a lesson, not just from the text, but we're going to kind of expand upon it just a little bit. We're going to answer the question, is there anything more precious than silver and gold? Of course, the answer is yes. There are some things biblically that are more precious than silver and gold. If I look at your outline, I think number one, you can see if you have just a little, but with the fear of the Lord, that's better than if you have great treasure and trouble. You can have all the treasure you want, but if you're in trouble, it's not so enjoyable. Number two, money. How much money would you take for your life? I don't want any because you've taken my life. Give me money to take my life. Number three, redeeming the time. That's right. Purchase the time. Number four, there's several words. Instruction, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding is better than great treasure. Or add to it. Number five, honesty. Number six, character, a good name. And number seven, salvation. I'd rather have salvation than great treasure. So we're going to look at each of these in turn as we go through our lesson this morning. Now, I understand silver and gold are certainly precious. Nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But as the text said that Rick read to us, it comes with a warning. You know, the Bible tells us that some things are more precious than silver and gold. So I put in your notes, there's an expression. It says, no man is so poor as he who has only silver and gold. Now, somebody's going to look at that and say, really? I have silver and gold. What do you mean I'm so poor? Well, if you don't have God's treasure, if that's all you have is silver and gold, without God's treasure, you're poor. You're a poor person indeed. So the real meaning and the value of that is that treasure is what it can do for us. As the text said, it's the treasure is what we can do for others. And it's tragic when treasure does more to us than what it does for us. Plus, in God's view, your treasure without Christ renders you eternally poor. And that's our lesson. So I'm going to answer the question, is anything more precious than silver and gold? Number one, a little with righteousness than treasure with trouble. Yep, I'd rather have a little than treasure if my little has righteousness and my treasure has trouble. In the verses I've listed for you, Proverbs 15, verse 16, says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And the proverb continues several places after that. In verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Well, you see, nothing wrong with being poor or having the gold and the silver, but it comes, what comes with it? Better's a dinner of herbs. Oh, kale? Oh, come on. I don't want kale. Even when I order a salad at a restaurant, I don't order a salad anymore after the news, but I'm gonna order, salad. I don't want the kale. I want the lettuce, but not anymore. At least for a while. I'd rather have herbs and love than steak with hate. Chapter 16, verse 8 of the Proverbs. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. See? Got nothing wrong with silver and gold. But none of it comes with unrighteousness. I don't want that. See, there's something better. In chapter 17, verse 1, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of sacrifice with strife. You have a house full, abundance of sacrifice, but if it comes with strife, you have the great treasure. Ah, but the strife comes with it. I'd rather have a quiet morsel or a dry morsel, not just a morsel, a dry morsel with quietness. So you see, of what value is the fifth steak on your table when you've lost your appetite because you're angry with somebody? What's the value of that finest steak on your table when you're fighting with your spouse? What's the value of that steak on your table when you hate someone? I know we had company just come in. Jordan, do me a favor. Go get a bulletin and an outline and for me, please.
They got it.
Oh, they got one. Oh, never mind. Thank you. Good. Welcome, welcome. I stop sermons all the time. So welcome people and things like that. So I'm thinking, you know, what value is that steak when you have hate? Doesn't taste that good. And what value is your Sealy Posturepedic sleep therapy temperature self-adjusting mess when you can't sleep because you have trouble and strife in your life? What value is that? See, there's something better than the good things, silver and gold, and the best. So I'd rather have a little with righteousness than the treasure if it comes with troubles and trials or strife. What's better than silver and gold? Righteousness. Number two is your life. Your life. Jesus makes a statement in a story in Luke chapter 12, beginning of verse 15. He gives the lesson, then he gives the story, and he gives the lesson again. But he tells it in the parable, and he begins with, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life," oh, here's our lesson, "one's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses." All right, what's better than the abundance? The silver and the gold, what's better? Your life does not consist in the abundance of the things that you possess. And so Jesus makes an application. He tells a story. He tells a story about a rich man that has lots of treasure. And then his life is taken from him. And he has the treasure, but he doesn't have God. So Jesus concludes his story in chapter verse 20. It says, God said to him, "Oh, you foolish one. Oh, you foolish one." Because he said, I have all this abundance. And he thinks, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger because I have so much abundance. He's counting on tomorrow. What's better than abundance? Jesus is giving that story. So he says in verse 20, "Foolish one, this night your soul is required of you. And now whose will those things be which you provided?" Who's going to have what you have after you die? Of what value is all that abundance after you die? Remember this text that Rick read to us? You brought nothing into the world, you take nothing out. Can't take it with you. And so Jesus makes the point, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Is there anything more valuable than silver and gold? Oh, yes. Being rich toward God is better than just having earthly wealth by itself. So while we live, yeah, provide for your family. But don't leave out God. Give God priority. Now Jesus asked a question in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He says, is not the life more than meat? Is your life more than your menu? Yeah. And then he gives a second question. And isn't the body more than raiment? Isn't my life more than the clothes I wear? I hope my life is not determined by my clothes. So then Jesus makes the conclusion again in verse 33 of Matthew 6. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You can have the meat. You can have the raiment or the clothing. But don't leave God out of the picture. There's something more precious than just the silver and the gold, you see. And that's our question. Is anything more precious than silver and gold? Righteousness and a life with God. Number three is your time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly. By definition, that has a couple definitions, but one is it means that to walk focused. Another one is you kind of keep your head on the swivel. Be sure you look out for those things that can take you away from your destination. Be sure you look out for the obstacles or the troubles and the trials. Walk circumspectly, not as a foolish person, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Meaning, make the wisest possible use of your time. Make the most of your time. Well, how am I going to do that? In Job, the Old Testament prophet, in Job 24, verse 22, says, no man is sure of life. So I'm going to make sure that I walk circumspectly. I'm going to make sure that I walk focused. And I'm going to be sure that I walk looking around and make sure I don't trip and fall. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5 says, the living know that they shall die. So you see, over time, you may be able to accumulate and hold on to treasure. However, with no amount of treasure, are you able to buy more time in life? I've known lots of, read about a lot of wealthy people that have silver and gold. Then they have, then they'll make their life. And their silver and their gold cannot lengthen their life. They can go to the best hospitals concerning their illness. They can pay for the best, but it doesn't lengthen their life. So you see, with the time you have, you need to prepare for eternity. Walk circumspectly. Walk correctly, redeeming by the time. Use your time wisely. But really, you have no time to lose. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, it says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Now. So when you consider, ask the question, what time is it concerning your salvation? The time is now. The time is now. Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, the verse says. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, he says, exhort one another daily while it's called today. So you walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. Buy the time wisely that you have today. And when it comes to salvation, the time is right now. It's today. Otherwise, you'll be heartfulness of sin, and you'll delay your obedience. There's something more precious than silver and gold. It's the time you have right now to make your life right with God. Number four, move forward, instruction, knowledge, wisdom, understanding. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10, the psalmist, or the wise man said, receive my instruction and not silver. Something better than silver, and it's instruction. Then he continues, and knowledge rather than gold. Well, silver and gold. Yeah, but there's something better. Instruction and knowledge. In verse 11, wisdom is better than rubies. Oh, rubies are pretty precious. That's a precious stone. Oh, but wisdom. And all the things that may be desired, wow, are not to be compared to it. Wow, the abundance of that the earth can provide for me, the earthly things. Oh, Solomon says, oh, I'd rather you have instruction, knowledge, and wisdom. In Proverbs 16, verse 16, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold. To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Why? I want silver and gold. I want to provide for my family. I want to work so I can benefit others. There's something precious about silver and gold. But the psalmist says, oh, wait, there's something that's more precious. And that's knowledge of God. Someone said, there's no knowledge so valuable as the knowledge of what is valuable. That's right. Are you listening? There's no knowledge so valuable as the knowledge of what is valuable. So are you receiving that which is wisdom, knowledge, instruction, understanding from God's word? Are you receiving that? Number five is honesty. In Proverbs 19, verse 22, it says, a poor man is better than a liar. So he gives a warning about life. He says, don't gain your treasure by dishonesty. You know, in the evening news, many times it'll report about people that cheat and swindle and steal. And they trade their honesty for treasure. And Solomon said, wait a minute, a poor man is better than that. I'd rather be poor than wealthy by dishonesty. Something better than gold and silver? Yeah, honesty. Receive it honestly. I remember the story of a school teacher giving her students an exam or a test. He or she always began telling the students before they take the test. He or she would say, students, when you take this test, you're really taking two tests. One's a test of honesty. The other's a test of the material. If you can only pass one of those tests, be sure it's the test of honesty. You can only pass two tests in life. If you have two tests, if you can only have one, take the test of honesty. Be honest in what you do. Number six is character. In Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Oh, good name. Hope at my funeral people will say something good about me and not just say, oh, he had a dollar 29. he had $30 in his savings account. I hope they don't tell him what silver and gold I have. I hope they tell me about a good name. You see, because when we die, it won't matter how much treasure we accumulated. But what will matter is the life that we lived. What will matter when we die is our character, our life. You see, so it's okay to give up treasure to make good character or have a good name, but don't give up a good name to gain silver and gold. Do that. I know my brother had twin boys. When the boys were young, I remember my brother Rod would tell me, he said I'd always ask my boys. He'd hold something up to them, like he said he had two quarters, and he would give each one. Would you rather have, boys, this quarter or a good name? You know what they always took?
Quarter.
Quarter.
My man, my dog.
They haven't learned the value of a good name yet. You know, and even after over the years, one boy would say to the other, he said, "Now always take the quarter." And they would say, "Why? Why would I do that?" He said, "Dad's trying to teach us to choose a good name." He says, "Because as soon as we say, well, I'd rather have a good name, he's going to stop offering us the quarter." As long as we say, "I'd rather have a quarter," he's going to keep asking us the question, we'll get the quarters. As we get older, we recognize the value of the treasure versus the good name, and we choose the good name. Character. The last one, salvation. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36, "What's a man profit if he gains the whole world?" Now, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? I've gained the whole world. I'm top on the mountain. I'm the richest man. I have the most toys. I've gained the whole world. Wow. And he loses his own soul. What's more precious? Gold and silver is pretty precious. You've gained it all, but you lose your soul. What value is that? Then he asks the question, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You could be the one person in the whole world who has the most toys. But what's its value to you when you die and you lose your soul? See, the point of this lesson, one thing, yes, you can have silver and gold, but don't leave God out of the picture. Remember, the text was the love of the treasure. That's the root of all evil. You can have the treasure. Trade and get gain. But don't leave God out of the picture. This one, if that's all you have, is the precious gold and silver, you're a poor person indeed. You're very poor in God's view. So that's why Jesus said, isn't your life more than food? Isn't your life more than raiment? Yes, it is. I have a soul. I have a soul. I want to be sure it's on God's side. So I want to let others know on whose side I stand. I want to let others know to whom I belong, because it's more precious than silver and gold. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "I came that they might have life." And I'm thinking, wait a minute, Jesus, I have life. I breathe in and out. I inhale, exhale. I have life. But then he adds, "And that you might have life more abundantly." That's what I want. Now I have life. Here I am. But I want abundant life. A life in Christ Jesus. A life that has sins forgiven. A life that has the hope of heaven. A life that's God's side, that's more precious than silver and gold. I heard the expression, you know, you can't, in the text, you can't take it with you. Well, there's an added phrase to that, too. That's about what I'm doing with that. Oh, that's right. You know, everything you own will one day be owned by somebody else. Everything. Everything you own, when you die, will be owned by somebody else. You can't take it with you. But what value is silver and gold is only precious for here. To provide for family and friends and to help those in need. Silver and gold is for here, earth. Your soul, more precious, more precious. So that's the lesson. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. It gives you opportunity to think about your relationship with God. And if it needs to be changed, you have this opportunity. So we sing this song to give you reflect on that relationship. The last words of Jesus, you'll hear me say, you know, in Matthew 28, verse 18, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all the nations." How do you make a disciple?
on Jesus' side, baptizing them in the name by heaven's authority, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Continued education, my way. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records it in Mark 16, beginning of verse 15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Tell everybody a good news message. Get on God's side. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved.
That's right.
Peter stands up with the 11 in Acts chapter 2. He has devout Jews from every nation gathered in Jerusalem. 50 days after the Pentecost, 10 days after the ascension of Jesus. And he begins to give them a lesson about the crucified Christ. He says in Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 20, in the next couple of verses, you by wicked hands have slain the Son of God. You did that. And then in verse 36, he says it again. This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And then when they heard that, you know, their hands go up. We're guilty as charged. We murdered the Messiah. We crucified the Christ. So they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter says unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of heavenly authority, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then with many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. See, there's something else, isn't there, to life? Save yourself. And those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostle teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. Verse 47 says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who were being saved? Back in verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized. That's the invitation we extend. If you have not obeyed that good news gospel message for salvation, you have that opportunity. Let's stand and we'll sing this song that's been selected for us.